Welcome back. Another edition of the Wobcast coming at you. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn. We are here to talk about the Vikings and the Vikings' upcoming game against the Kansas City Chiefs. The game is Sunday at noon. It's a rematch of Super Bowl IV, a game in which the Kansas City Chiefs came out victoriously. So the Vikings looking to avenge that Super Bowl loss. But more importantly, they're looking to become a team that's 3-2, a team that is 1-0 coming out of its bye, a team that is looking to get back on the right track after putting forth a great effort against the Denver Broncos before the bye, but coming out on the wrong end. Yes, the Vikings are a team that is playing well, or at least they were going into their bye with consecutive victories over Detroit and San Diego, and then a heartbreaking loss to the Broncos. They get the bye. They are now rested and recharged for a long stretch of 12 games in 12 weeks, including later in the season a short week against the Arizona Cardinals, a game that comes just 5 days after playing the Seattle Seahawks. So it's not an easy or short road ahead for the Vikings. It's long and tough, but this Vikings team going into the bye looking like a team that could be in it to win it coming down the stretch and making a playoff push. But that's putting the cart before the horse. What's up next for the Vikings is a game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, all the talk this week in the Vikings-Chiefs matchup is the injury to Jamaal Charles, who unfortunately was lost last week in the loss to the Chicago Bears to a knee injury, a torn ACL. He's done for the season. You hate seeing players go down to injury, especially those serious ones that end the season for them. Injuries are a topic of conversation around the Vikings as well. You have a wide receiver core that's a little dinged up. Mike Wallace didn't practice early in the week. Fortunately, he's been able to get back out there. Charles Johnson did not play in the Broncos game right before the bye. And Jarius Wright did play in the Broncos game, but he was limited with a hand injury. So the Vikings a little dinged up at wide receiver. Of course, you also have Andrew Sendejo, who's on the injury report, and defensive end Justin Tratow. For the Chiefs, aside from Jamaal Charles, a couple of defensive linemen who've popped up on the injury report, and they're very good players. Tom Bahali, an outside linebacker slash defensive end, a pass rusher. He can drop in coverage, and he does a pretty good job there, but his forte is rushing the passer. He's up on the injury report, missing some practice time this week, as is Dontari Poe, one of the better nose tackles in the NFL. So both teams dealing with a few injuries this week as they prepare to battle one another here in Minnesota. Now, much is being made of a slow start for the Kansas City Chiefs. They are 1-4, and now they've lost Jamaal Charles. Folks, this is a team that many thought could upend the Denver Broncos and win the AFC West and perhaps make some noise in the playoffs because they were a team trending in the right direction. Unfortunately for them, they start 1-4, and now they've lost Jamaal Charles. But we caution you here at the Wobcast, do not overlook the Kansas City Chiefs. Here are three reasons why. Number one, their 1-4 record has come while playing three teams that are still undefeated. The Chiefs have lost to the Denver Broncos, a game in which they led late in the game but came out on the wrong end. They lost to the Cincinnati Bengals, and they lost to the Green Bay Packers. Those three teams remain undefeated. So it's been a tough road so far for the Kansas City Chiefs. So that four losses that's on their record is a little deceiving. Reason number two, depth along their defensive line. I mentioned the injuries to Dontari Poe and Tom Bahali. Whether or not they can play on Sunday, we don't know. But if they're unavailable to go or if they're limited because of their injuries, the Chiefs have some depth behind them. At defensive tackle, it's Jay Howard. He wears jersey number 96. You go back and watch some of the Chiefs games this season. What a motor on that guy. Backing up Tom Bahali, you have Dee Ford, who played at Auburn, was a standout for the Auburn Tigers. I went to the Senior Bowl the year that he came out. He was a standout at the Senior Bowl. Dee Ford can come in and give you some snaps, too, if Tom Bahali isn't 100%. Reason number three, Andy Reid. Andy Reid, one of the most veteran coaches in the NFL, a guy who's been to the playoffs a bunch of times, a guy who knows how to work his way around a minefield. You might have problems. You might have injuries. Andy Reid is going to know how to get around it. An offensive-minded coach, no doubt, but he's got a good defensive staff in place as well. So Andy Reid knows how to steer the ship. He's the man in charge of the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's a reason why you should not overlook the squad. Those are reasons we think you should not overlook the Kansas City Chiefs in the Vikings-Chiefs matchup this Sunday. For a few more takes on the Vikings-Chiefs matchup, we go to the Around the League podcast. Here are their thoughts.
The Chiefs are 1-4, which is bad. You lose to the Bears, that's worse. But then you lose Jamaal Charles to a season-ending ACL tear. That is beyond terrible. So here's my question. The Minnesota Vikings up next on their schedule. Do the Chiefs have any chance against the Vikes in Week 6? Mark.
Well, I don't think this was a very good team to begin with Jamaal Charles, and I don't like the way the whole offense has been formed under Andy Reid. I think Sarkandrick West looks interesting as a guy that steps in. He's got some quicks, but I mean, I'm not sure that this is a team that's going to beat the Vikings even with Charles.
Quicks, that's a new one.
Got some speed, some nice feet.
Yeah. Sarkandrick West did look good in preseason, but is a lot different doing well in August compared to October. And I think Jamaal Charles has been their MVP for, 3 years running now? He's the most important player on their offense, and it's too steep of a drop-off.
As these losses pile up, I think we're going to hear more about Alex Smith's contract and Andy Reid's future. Not that Andy Reid is going anywhere, but the fact that they guaranteed all of Alex Smith's money next year was such a curious decision. And you're going to see he can't solve an offense, even with Jamaal Charles. It's going to be ugly with that.
They didn't score a point after Charles went out last week.
Who is their running back now?
Sarkandrick West.
Do we believe?
Niall Davis could get in the mix, too.
I think West is better than Davis.
West is going to be the lead guy.
One of those guys is going to have to step up if they're going to have any chance on Sunday. Check out the Around the NFL podcast 3 times a week.
Okay, coming up next, we dip into Vikings Game Plan, our weekly pregame show hosted by Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen. A regular segment in that show is the DraftKings Extra Point, where we get the opponent's perspective on the game. This week, it's Chiefs play-by-play guy Mitch Holthus. He gives us his take on how the game may play out.
Kansas City's trying to get things back on track after 4 consecutive losses. They had a great start to the season. They were the only NFL team to be undefeated in the preseason, and they were impressive when it was ones-on-ones against Seattle and Tennessee and St. Louis and Arizona. Plus, they had a road victory to start the year against a good Houston defense. But a rock-hard schedule. No team in the league has had to play the teams the Chiefs had to play in weeks 2, 3, and 4. And last week's loss to the Bears has this team reeling a bit, but they look to rebound as they go to the Twin Cities. Offensively, the team has to overcome the loss of Jamaal Charles. Charles still has the all-time yards per carry average in the history of the NFL. So Kansas City, to try to overcome that injury, has to look at a lot of different places. But this is still a talented team on offense. Jeremy Maclin's had a big impact on this team at wide receiver. Travis Kelce is an emerging tight end. The offensive line has been a little bit of mix and match, but they've played better of late at times. And quarterback Alex Smith is looking to get his confidence back. Defensively, the front 7 is stout. Alan Bailey is one of the most underrated players in the AFC. Dontari Poe right now is challenged to be the best nose tackle in the entire NFL. And others like Mike DeVito and Jay Howard have elevated their game. Derek Johnson's back after losing almost all of last year to an Achilles injury. Johnson's the all-time leading tackler in Chiefs history, and he's back on the inside backer position. But Justin Houston is one of the most superb athletes in the entire NFL. And it's not just his sacks. He's great at holding the edge or coverage, and he is an elite player in the league. In the secondary, the Chiefs have one of the top rookies in the league, some think the best rookie in the NFL in 2015, in cornerback Marcus Peters, who started his career with a pick against the Houston Texans, and then the next week had a 55-yard pick 6 against Peyton Manning. He's an outstanding guy with a bright future for the Chiefs. And in his special teams, Dave Tobin, Viking fans know about him. Dave, for years, was the Bears special teams coach. Dave has made a real impact here with Kansas City in both the return and the coverage games. So we look forward to our trip to the Twin Cities. We hope it is a redo of Super Bowl IV when the Chiefs upset the Vikings 23-7. Hey, it's the 50th year celebration of the Super Bowls, right? Why not recount Super Bowl IV this week in the cities?
Okay, it's time to bring in producer Nate Vaughn and 3 threats. Nate, take it away.
Thank you, Wavi. The first threat we're going to look at is on the defensive side for the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to look at rookie Marcus Peters. Mm-hmm. You know, we took the first cornerback of the 2015 draft. The Chiefs took the second one later on in the draft. They took Marcus Peters.
Yes.
He's proven so far to be kind of hit or miss as a rookie. They're playing him quite a bit, so they're not worried about getting him on the field. He's proven he can cause some turnovers and even get in the end zone off some of those.
Well, yeah, and the Chiefs are banged up at corner. They lost their nickel corner, Phillip Gaines. recently. And so, yeah, they're banged up. But I think Marcus Peters is probably good enough to play anyway, even if they weren't banged up at corner. The Chiefs do something interesting. We'll get into more of it later in the show. But they do something interesting with their safeties, and it basically leaves Sean Smith and Marcus Peters as the two outside corners, and they're responsible for locking things down out there, and they do a pretty good job. Marcus Peters has two defensive touchdowns already, one off of an interception, the other off of a fumble. I think he's a legitimate threat. He looks to have a nose for the ball, and he's already has a lot of experience playing. So Marcus Peters, definitely a guy you have to watch out for and be careful of. Now, you can make some big plays on him. He's given up some touchdowns. Including last week against the Chicago Bears late in the game. Not the game winner. That was to Matt Forte, and Hussein Abdullah was in coverage. But the touchdown before that, which got Chicago back in the game, was a beautiful throw from Jay Cutler on Marcus Peters. So Marcus Peters off to a very good start, no doubt. A guy who makes big plays, and sometimes he gives up big plays, but genuinely one of the three threats we need to watch out for on Sunday.
The second threat a lot of people know about, but just in case you didn't, there's a tight end over there named Travis Kelce, who is a pretty athletic tight end and is one of the bigger playmakers they have on there on the offensive side of the ball. So what can the Vikings do to stop Travis Kelce?
Well, he's their Kyle Rudolph, pretty much. And he wears jersey number 87. Go back and watch the Chiefs games. I mean, he's all over the field. They line him up as an inline tight end. They flex him. They line him up out wide. They motion with him. They shift with him. I mean, you can do a lot of different things with Travis Kelce. He's even good in the screen game. They're good that way. He can block in the screen game. He can be a receiver in the screen game. So I like Travis Kelce a lot, and he is one of the three threats that you need to watch. Now, he had two touchdowns in week one against the Houston Texans. He's been held out of the end zone since then, but he still is getting receptions, and they're usually for big yards. He's got a very nice average yards per catch, and he's good in the screen game. In fact, against the Cincinnati Bengals a couple of weeks ago, four of his five catches were in the screen game. So if you think that the current Bengals defense is a lot like the current Vikings defense because of the Mike Zimmer tie, the screen game might be a factor. The Chiefs use the screen game to attack the Bengals. Maybe they'll use the screen game with Kelce to attack the Vikings.
For the third threat, we're not going to look at Jeremy Maclin on the outside. We're not going to look at Tom Bahali or Justin Houston. We're going to look a little bit of an unsung hero of the Chiefs defense. We're going to take a look at Hussein Abdullah. And I know you kind of broke his game down a little bit in the film breakdown to be posted a little bit later on this week. So can you tell me a little bit about what the things are that he can do well?
Well, it's interesting, and I give a lot of credit to Ben Lieber because he pointed this out to me, and then I came to work and I watched it on tape, and he's exactly right. The Chiefs do some interesting things with their safeties because of their injuries at cornerback, where they've been decimated by injury there. There are plays where they play with four safeties on the field, two lined up in the traditional spots, one as a nickel, which a lot of times is Ron Parker, and then oftentimes another as a will linebacker in a sub package, and a lot of times that's Hussein Abdullah. So the Chiefs do some unique, some versatile things with their safeties, and Hussein Abdullah is a big part of that. They can line him up traditionally as a safety, where you have a two safety look. They can line him up as a will linebacker. They can line him up outside as a corner. And we broke all of that down in the film study that's going to be up on the site. So I encourage people to go and check that out, because Bob Sutton, who's the Chiefs defensive coordinator, he's been a coach for 16 years in the NFL and a bunch of years before that in college. I mean, he's a resourceful guy, clearly, because if you look at the injuries that this team has had to their corners, that they are doing as well as they are doing at times in the passing game is impressive. And a lot of times they're doing it with four safeties. So, yeah, Hussein Abdullah, definitely a guy to watch. And he's a former Viking on top of all that. He was once with us. Now he's with them. And he does a lot of cool things. He's an in-the-box defender oftentimes, playing almost like a linebacker. The Bears tried to run at him a few times, and it didn't work. So I give Bob Sutton and the Chiefs defensive staff a lot of credit for what they're doing with their safeties and the way they use Hussein Abdullah.
All right, we're going to move on to some over-unders. You had a week off.
Yep.
Let's see. You're at 6-6 right now.
Okay. I rested, and I'm recharged just like the Vikings.
Clean slate.
Okay.
From here on out is what matters.
All right.
The first one we're going to take a look at is tackles for Eric Kendricks. We actually did one of these earlier in the year. Maybe it was even the preseason. We took a look at that. But a little bit different now. These games count.
Okay.
These over-unders count,
all right,
Bobby.
I'm ready.
So tackles for Eric Kendricks. We're going to put the over under at 5.5. And okay. I kind of want to tell you a little bit why we're taking a look at this.
Okay.
A, Gerald Hodges is no longer here. He was traded.
Correct.
So that's one less player at linebacker. So simple math says he's going to play a few more snaps at least.
Agreed.
B, a lot of what the Chiefs do, or at least did with Jamaal Charles, we'll see if it carries over, is runs up the middle or side to side, but also a lot of screens,
right,
in which they try to get matchups with the linebackers.
Right.
A running back against a linebacker. If you're running back Jamaal Charles, a lot of times you're going to win that matchup. So what do you say? Over, under, 5.5 tackles for Eric Kendricks.
I'm going to put this may be one of those that I am the most confident in throughout the season. So I'm over on this. And I'm not trying to anoint Eric Kendricks as anything or overhype him. I'm just saying that this is a big Eric Kendricks type of game. I totally agree with what you're saying. This is West Coast offense, throw it to running backs out of the backfield, tight end screens. That to me just screams athletic sideline to sideline linebacker play, and that's what Eric Kendricks is. I love that we have Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr on our team for this game. I think those guys are going to be very important to what the Vikings do defensively, and hopefully things go well. And if they do, this is going to be an over.
All right, over 5.5 tackles for Eric Kendricks. We're going to keep the number at 5.5 for the next over-under. We're going to take a look at total sacks in the game. So amount of sacks for both the Vikings and the Chiefs combined.
Okay.
So, you know, we have our guys, Everson Griffin, Brian Robinson on the edges. Even defensive tackles have had some success so far this year. You know, Tom Johnson has one. Sharif always seems like he's getting pressure on the quarterback. So we have our defensive line covered. And, of course, they have Tom Bahaly and Justin Houston. Justin Houston almost broke the record for sacks in a single season, an NFL record last year.
Right.
So 5.5 sacks over or under for the entire game.
All right, I'm going to take the over, but this is not an easy one for me because it's one of those where I think both teams know that they're going up against a team that can rush the passer. So the Chiefs knowing that and knowing what the Vikings defensive line has done to quarterbacks at home this season, watching the Detroit Lions game and the San Diego Chargers game and Matthew Stafford and Phillip Rivers getting pounded into the ground. I mean, they know that's coming, and they're going to try and do things to neutralize it. And we've already talked about it, the short passing game, screens, that sort of thing. So for the Vikings to rack up the sack totals, what they're going to have to do is be good on first and second down so you get the Chiefs in third and medium, third and long situations so they can't do anything but put Alex Smith on 5- and 7-step drops to try and pick up that yardage. That's when those guys can get home to the quarterback. And the Vikings have been very good protecting the passer at home. They've only allowed one sack at home this season in their two games. They've allowed 12 on the road, but just one at home. So I think this is a tight one. I think you set it at a good number, but I like the defensive line's matchup in this game for the Vikings. And I think that the Vikings are going to be able to establish control of this game, build a lead, and then pin their ears back and go after Alex Smith. Not an easy guy to bring down. He has been sacked 21 times this season, but he's athletic and he can get out of the pocket. So you have to rush smart, as Mike Zimmer likes to preach every week. But I still say that this one gets over 5.5 sacks in this game on Sunday.
The final over-under we're going to take a look at is points off of field goals in the entire game. So again, we're looking at a combination of both teams, and I'll tell you why this is kind of interesting. Kansas City is tied for third in the NFL with 11 field goals made. That's 11 of 14 field goals. A lot of has kind of been made of some of Blair Walsh's struggles, his inconsistency a little, but he's 6 of 8 so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teams would take that. And I'll look back at the Chiefs game against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Easy for you to say.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
In that game, the final score was 36-21 in favor of the Bengals. The 21 points that the Chiefs scored all came from the leg of Cairo Santos.
7 field goals.
7 for 7 on field goals.
Pretty good.
So some interesting numbers there in this matchup. So if we put the over-under at 16.5 points scored from field goals in this game, would you take over or under?
So essentially then you would need 6 field goals to make it over, which, as you said, given the Chiefs' history, very possible.
They can do that in one game.
They've done that in one game on their own. yes, just by themselves.
That's right.
I'm going under on this. I love the way the Vikings are playing the field position game so far this season. They are number one in opponents' drive starts after a punt, meaning after the Vikings punt, after a punt, there is no team that has better defensive field position than the Vikings. Opponents are averaging starting at the 17-yard line after Jeff Locke punts. Our defense is going in the right direction. The Chiefs have to figure out something different with Jamal Charles. I think Andy Reid can eventually do that. I don't think he will do that against Mike Zimmer's defense. So I think because the Vikings defense is going the right way right now and is playing well right now, and I have confidence in this matchup for them, I think that's going to inhibit the Chiefs' ability to put up a bunch of field goals, and hopefully the Vikings are registering touchdowns and not field goals. So instead of Blair Walsh helping this total creep up to over 16 by adding 3 points at a time, I hope he's adding 1 point at a time, and it would take him a lot of touchdowns to get to 16. And although I think we can score a lot of points, I don't think we're going to score 16 touchdowns. So I'm going under on this, and that will give me two overs this week and one under. So I like my balance. We all like to be balanced. Norv Turner likes to be balanced offensively with his play calling. I like to be balanced in my over-unders, and I'm going to go under on the points off field goals. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast. There is your Vikings-Chiefs preview. Should be a fun game to watch on Sunday. Now, for those of you going to the game on Sunday, we need your help. In support of Domestic Violence Awareness Month and in conjunction with Matter, a local nonprofit, the Vikings will host a gate collection prior to the game on Sunday. They are collecting women's personal care products and cash donations to support women's shelters in the Twin Cities area. Suggested items include personal care, dental, personal hygiene, baby products, or cash donations. Contribute to this worthy cause and donate your items at gates A through E or at the Benton County Gate beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. through kickoff. Visit Vikings.com for more information or for a list of accepted products. This is the Vikings Breast Cancer Awareness Game, so you'll notice during the television broadcast, if that's how you take in the game, a bunch of pink gear, all to raise awareness for the fight against breast cancer, and a lot of that gear will be auctioned off with the proceeds benefiting breast cancer and the Breast Cancer Awareness Initiative. So very important initiatives going on this weekend, as well as the Vikings and Chiefs game. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This Wobcast is over, but more are to come next week after the Vikings and the Chiefs battle on Sunday. You can catch that game. It will be on CBS on your television. Of course, you can also catch it on the Vikings Radio Network, where Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, and Greg Coleman will have the call. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.